Blog Talk Radio.
The pastor cannot do it alone.
That's right.
And so it is important that the laity be trained and prepared to help the work of the church, to help in the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ may be built up and matured spiritually, as we're taught in Ephesians chapter 4. So the laity has an important role in the church.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM Ecclesiastical Ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communications, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training. Greetings and welcome. This is Teacher Margaret Tindall and the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training Outreach Broadcast, coming to you by way of UFCCM Anointed Radio. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you all for joining us as you tune in on your phones or Facebook or at our website at uscm.org. We give honor to our Ecumenical Patriarch, our Episcopal Board of Bishops, national officials, and all of UFCCM worldwide, as well as our many friends and supporters. Blessings to all of you, and we pray that you all are well. We're so thankful and grateful that God, by his loving grace and mercy, has allowed us to come together one more time. And we do not say this lightly, because it could have been another way. But he has given us another opportunity at life and another opportunity to continue and fellowship together and learn together and work together as co-laborers in the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training, as well as the UFCCM in general. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning with hearts filled with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you because your faithfulness is great and your mercies are new every morning. And you extend those mercies to us as you give us another opportunity, Lord, just to come before your throne and to kneel at your feet, God, and to just say thank you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We worship you. We adore you, God. We thank you for all the wonderful things that you have done for us. And most importantly, the most wonderful thing is the giving of your only precious Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to pay the penalty for our sins, that we might have the way to salvation. Father, we're so grateful. We ask you to look on each and every one of us this morning. Father, we ask you to search us. If you find anything that is not of thee, Father, we ask that it be removed, God, and not only that it be removed, but you make us aware of what it is so that we will not stumble that way again. Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together for another broadcast. This is our last broadcast of 2021 in the UFCCM Ministry of Laity Training. You brought us for the past 6 years, God, and we're just so grateful for this ministry and for this opportunity for us to come together to learn more of you. Look on our broadcast this morning, our speaker, Mother Bishop, and our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Haywood, our program director, and all of our listeners. Father, we ask you, Lord, to allow us to learn, God, and to leave this broadcast more enlightened and more encouraged than when we tuned in. Father, we ask these blessings. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray and we say amen. Well, listeners, the scripture that came to my attention this morning is one that I really love, and I love it because we, the UFCCM, are practicing. We're not just reading and studying this scripture, but we're living it out. It is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We in the UFCCM are abiding in this word and are meeting God's condition for healing our land as we faithfully are continuing to move forward by faith. And not only are we moving forward by faith, but we are on our knees before the Lord, humbling ourselves and seeking his face. As each month, this entire ministry worldwide goes before the Lord in nonstop 24-hour prayer. And not only that, but we continue to pray without ceasing. We're so honored to have as our speaker for today our very own Mother Bishop Shirley A. Tindall. And I just learned that she will be joined by our Ecumenical Patriarch, His Grace, His Eminence, Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr. And it is no great surprise when she informed me that they will be working together because they're such a beautiful and wonderful and loving team of faith. But I want to tell you a little bit about Mother Bishop in particular, because she is a great woman of God and one who wears many hats within the UFCCM. Not only is she the dear wife of our Ecumenical Patriarch, but in her own right, she currently serves as the presiding bishop of the UFCCM headquarters jurisdiction. She's also the UFCCM secretary general. She's the chair of the UFCCM ordination committee, and she actively participates along with our Ecumenical Patriarch in all UFCCM ministries. They're such a faithful team, and I don't believe they have missed one broadcast since we have been on the air. What a wonderful example for us to follow. Mother Bishop is a dynamic preacher of God's word and a faithful woman of God, and she and our Ecumenical Patriarch are parents to 4 lovely children and 7 adorable grandchildren. We're so delighted to have this team of faith as our speakers, teachers for this broadcast. The topic for today is one that really had me scratching my head, but I'm sitting on the edge of my seat to understand and learn from this topic, the Advent season challenges our faith. We're eager to hear what God has in store for us today to speak to our hearts and to encourage us. So without further preliminary, I'm bringing to you our team of faith, Mother Bishop Shirley A. Tindall and our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Henry A. Tindall, Sr. Good morning, Your Graces.
Good morning, Teacher Tindall.
Good morning, Teacher Tindall, and those of you that are tuning in.
Truly, we honor the Lord and to Bishop Haywood and to everyone that is there in the audience this morning or this afternoon, depending on where you're at. And, of course, to His Eminence, our Ecumenical Patriarch, Bishop Tindall. We are so happy to be with you all this morning, and we're coming to you as partners and workers of faith. Bishop Tindall and I have been working together for almost 48 years, and we continue to do such as far as kingdom building. And I thank Teacher Tindall for the opportunity to come forth at this close of the year, so to speak, broadcast. This past year has really, really been one of a challenge, and it has been a true testing of our faith. I had considered a number of things, what to bring. I thought one time that we would just do a recap of the past year, but I think that we've heard a number of our broadcasters that brought us into remembrance of what we have experienced, and it's been almost 2 years. But we have seen and experienced unprecedented things and times that have challenged us to hold tight to our testimony. Much of what has been declared by faith has been tested. Many of us have had testimonies that have declared that God would do all things. God would open up doors. God would heal and make a way. And many of us have been in those situations that have tried and tested our testimonies. But as our USCCM theme has been an encouragement and a beacon to our souls. Despite all that we have been through, we continue to move forward by faith. As we continue to embrace the scriptures, particularly in our theme, the scripture in Hebrews 11 and 1, and we know what it says, but I'm going to reiterate it. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, or one who earnestly seeks him. There's a lot that I could say about our theme from this past year, but I'm going to focus on a subject matter. And Bishop Tindall, we're going to discuss this together. The Advent season challenges our faith. And I'm sure there may be those that are wondering exactly what we mean by a statement such as this. But as I just said about earnestly seeking the Lord, we are to earnestly and prayerfully seek him. We must seek or search the word of God. But that is where we will find the truths that we are to have our lives be guided by. And as you know, that we are in a very special time of year that is called the Advent season. And as Christians, we look forward to this time during this particular year. But I would just like to define what we mean when we say Advent. It is a term from the Latin translation that means arrival, coming, or appearance. Advent is the season before Christmas in which we prepare for the coming of Christ. Advent is a period of spiritual preparation. Now, does that sound very familiar? We oftentimes have spiritual preparations at the beginning of the year because it sets the tone for the entire year. But Advent is a time that we not only do introspection of ourselves, but we also look at how we prepare our hearts for receiving this truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, as Christians, we recognize the fact that it is such a special time because with the coming of Christ and him being brought into this world, literally God came into a flesh form to deliver his creation. When we think about the fullness of that, it really kind of almost boggles your mind. Here it is, the creator of everything. In order to redeem man, he came down as a baby, born into this world so that he could redeem his creation. So I just wanted to give you an air about what Advent really should be. Yes, Bishop.
You know, I'd just like to tie in here just for a moment. When we think about the Advent season, especially as Christians, it should be the true focus of everything that we have our attention centered around in this time of the year. You know, most people think of the Advent, and unfortunately, a lot of Christians think of the Advent as the day in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, there is going to come a great one-day celebration
later on.
But we need to focus a little more closely on the Advent, not as a day, but as a season.
If you
look at the liturgical calendar of Christian worship, it is actually a 28-day period that usually begins most of the time in late November and goes right on through Christmas on to the time sometime after Christmas in which Jesus was blessed by Anna and Simon in the temple. So when we think of the Advent, it would take so much pressure off so many whose faith is challenged this time of the year, because we would see this not as a lot of preparation for one day, but we would see this as a whole season in which every day leading up to the birth of the Lord Jesus is of great significance. This is called the Epiphany, that time period, the Epiphany. And the Yuletide season, of course, I'm not going, I don't want to bring secular things now into our Christian idea, but the Yuletide is something that a lot of older centuries ago where it developed, it was about the bringing everyone together, burning the Yule log and all like that. But the important thing is that let's think of Advent not as a single day event, but as a period.
A season leading
us to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one was ever born like him before.
That's right. That's right, Bishop. And I'm glad that you have mentioned that. And, you know, because we as Christians, we live in this world, and oftentimes we are subject to many of the traditions that bombard us in our lives every day. And if we're not careful, we can get caught up into the secular materialistic traditions. Now, we must admit, all of us at one time or another have gotten kind of taken away. It's almost like the wave. We're bombarded with things that we hear on the radio, things that we see on the TV, when we're in the supermarket. It's there, and it's given us as Christians the idea that we are to focus on just this one day that is called Christmas or Christ's Mass. And we're not going to take the time during this radio broadcast to really interject and understand why that name came about. But we must be mindful of, first of all, who we are and whose we are. We have to do things different than what the world does. The world's focus is on, and please, I hope there's no children that I'm going to disappoint, but, you know, the world's focus is Santa Claus. The world's focus is having reindeers riding through the air, bringing gifts. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we miss that whole thing. We miss an opportunity, because there are some Christians that have really not instilled into their children this whole idea of Advent. I know there is one thing that has tried to come close, but it's still materialistic. When we talk about the 12 days of Christmas, that is like a preparation of getting people together for that one big day. It's close, but it's not close enough. And there is some spiritual underpinnings in that, but we're not going to cover all those in this broadcast. But the point being about Advent, and I hope that this is a wake-up or an eye-opening, that the way it's going to really challenge us, it's going to cause us to look at things from a different angle,
yes.
Bishop. I'm not here to condemn anyone's belief or their mode of celebration. I'm just here to introduce you to look at this from a different angle. Yes, Bishop.
You know, I think about the fact that so many traditions that are involved with this time of the year really cause so much unnecessary and undue stress in the minds of so many people. Unfortunately, believers have allowed themselves to fall, so to speak, into that same category because of our misconceptions. Technically, it probably can be shown that Jesus was not even born on December 25th. The most ancient scholars in the 3rd century after the birth of Jesus rated the birth of Jesus to have begun sometime in March or even early spring. And, of course, there have always been controversy over the actual day in which he was born. As Christians, don't get hung up on
the
day.
That's it, Bishop.
Just rejoice that he was born.
I
think that that is important to us. We need to not allow the worldly pressures, especially those induced by commercialism. Tradition to influence how we rejoice and how we think in this season. We are supposed to be different from the world. The world should see something different about us. And I think Mother Bishop is going to point out some of the traditions that are so misleading around this time of the year.
Bishop, this is so true. And I just want, if you're listening and you're able to jot something down, just think about this. And we're bringing this in such a way as to really make you think. Now, tradition tells us that, and if you read some of the newer translations of the Bible, it makes a reference, and even though it's very small, but it's extremely important. They will say a virgin will bring forth. That's not completely what it should say. It should say the virgin because a virgin, it could sound as if God haphazardly or, you know, even the songs, God decided on that particular time or moment or whatever. No, this was planned out before the foundation of the world. And Mary was selected as the virgin. Jesus had to be born, and the only way he could have been born was through a woman. But it was not just any woman. God had this precisely planned, and as Christians, we must truly be mindful of this. When we read the genealogy of Jesus in St. Matthew and in Luke, that genealogy is there for a specific reason. We don't have time to go through everything in detail during the broadcast, but that genealogy, and a lot of times Christians will just pass over it. I challenge you today to take the time to study the genealogy of Jesus that is presented in Matthew and that is also presented in Luke. And you will see some things in there that you will say, oh, my goodness, I did not realize that that was there. But there was a specific reason and purpose. So when we're reading or when you're speaking, just don't say a virgin. Say the virgin, which is important. Yes,
I'd like to bring that scripture to your attention.
Yes.
In case you'd like to make a note of that, that's in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord had told Ahaz to ask of him a sign that he was going to do something in particular in his life. And Ahaz, of course, would not ask the Lord of the sign.
He would not.
But God himself gave him a sign. And the sign that came from God was a prophetic one.
Yes.
If you read Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
And now that is important because, as Mother Bishop says, when you look at this, you see that it talks about how Jesus' birth had been prophesied by the Lord God himself. In a lot of translations of the Bible, not only does it take away the word the and put in but it also takes out the word virgin and says a maiden or a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you all know in the connotation of our vernacular today, a young woman or a maiden may or may not be a virgin. And that is one of the greatest attacks by secular humanism against the faith of the believer.
Yes,
because he's tried to discredit the fact of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, and in Luke you talk about this one begat that one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get down to Joseph and Mary, the begat's in, and it simply said, brought forth her son.
Yeah.
What does that mean? There was no earthly father
involved.
Of whom the son was
begat.
Said to have been begotten. So she brought forth, because as the angel had proclaimed, that holy thing,
Bishop,
which is done in you, shall be of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, Bishop.
Amen. Mother Bishop, I hate to interrupt you all. This is just so fascinating. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, everyone.
All right.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
We're back as we continue to listen to the Advent Season Challenges Our Faith.
Thank you so much, Teacher Tyndall. We did not realize that the time was moving so swiftly, but this is such an exciting subject area for Bishop and I, and we're going to try to move a little more expeditiously, but we would like to point out to you, for those that have their Bibles or taking notes, go to the first chapter of St. Matthew, and in verse 16, we're just going to read that, and it says, And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And as Bishop just pointed out, that those things sometimes when you're reading, you really need to look more closely at that, because the Bible speaks so plainly about those truths. And it is very clear right there that Joseph did not beget Jesus. Mary was a vehicle or a conduit or however you want to say that was necessary to bring forth a child. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and that is how Jesus was conceived and brought into this world. Bishop has another thought.
Yeah, I just like to go to the scripture with so many of these things, and I'm only going to take a moment, but if you would look at Matthew chapter 1, mm-hmm. verse 16, and compare that with Luke
mm-hmm.
chapter 3, verse 23.
Yes, Bishop.
In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, as Mother Bishop just read, it says, Mary, Jacob begat Joseph,
mm-hmm.
the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now compare that with Luke chapter 3,
mm-hmm.
verse 23, where we have the genealogy of Mary. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being never overlooked any statement
yeah.
or phrase in the scripture. As being, and in parenthesis, as was supposed,
mm-hmm.
the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli. The point being that it is made for our understanding to be crystal clear
yes, Bishop.
That Jesus did not have an earthly father involved in his conception. He had an earthly father because God wanted his son to be brought forth in a family with
yes.
both father and mother there.
Mm-hmm.
Mary taught him about life, and Joseph taught him about industry. That's a quick statement there. But the point is that Mary's genealogy is given in Luke, but Joseph's
mm-hmm.
genealogy is given in Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Why the difference? Because Mary's genealogy is given in Luke because Joseph was not involved in the conception of Jesus Christ. And this is such an important truth.
Yes, yes.
As our faith is challenged mm-hmm. in this Advent season, it is so important that we stick to the truth.
Sure.
And for those
yes.
of you who all can remember that far back, just the facts, ma'am. From Sergeant Friday, just the facts.
Just the facts.
This is important. The little things in scripture that we may have a tendency to overlook real quickly
yes.
have paramount importance.
Yes, that is so true, Bishop. And I wish we had a little more time to even focus on the genealogy of Mary
yes.
and to really see where she came from and some of the things that were in her genealogy and some of the people
yes.
that were in her genealogy.
Oh, my.
That in itself is a whole subject, because it brings us to a point when we realize some of the people that are in her genealogy, that when the enemy comes after you and tries to make you feel little or make you feel low, when you really understand Mary's genealogy, we do not have to walk around as Christians with our heads down. I'm not going to touch that.
God says from the guttermost.
To the uttermost.
To the uttermost.
Oh, God.
If you look at back in that genealogy line, you will find prostitutes.
Yes.
You will find murderers.
Yes.
You will find all kinds of people. You will even find incest.
Yes. Yes.
Now, you may find that hard to believe.
Hard to believe.
In the bloodline of Jesus, no. in the bloodline of his
parents, yes.
Mary and Joseph, because the bloodline of Jesus is not the blood like we know about.
Yes.
The kind of blood we know about is red.
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus is something that washes whiter than snow.
Oh, God.
There's no way you can show me how you could take red blood and wash dirty sins and make them clear. So there's something different about the blood of Jesus. That blood reaches to the highest mountain.
Oh, my.
Well, let me stop and get back to it. Go ahead, Brother.
We're going to try to bring this in a little bit. And another thing that has really that will challenge us during this Advent season, because I'm trying to get you to look at things from a different way, a different point of view. Traditions, according to the Word of God, tells us that makes the Word of God of none effect. There's so many traditions that have been embedded in us as Christians that we think that they are Bible truths, and there is no Bible truth to substantiate. Now, of course, men have gotten in and assumed things, and some of these things, these assumptions, they're understandable, but they're not necessarily what the Word tells us. And one of those is that many have assumed for as long as I can remember, and I think it started back in the 1500s from the information that I've gotten, and it's something that came out of the Council of Trent back in Trento, Italy, when all of the bishops were meeting, and it was during the Reformation. That's a little church history. But we are so convinced that there were three wise men that came and saw Jesus on the night of his birth in the manger. There's no scriptural basis that tells me that. And somebody can say, oh, wait a minute, Mother Bishop, you got that wrong. It's always been three. Well, the assumption is that it has been three because of the three gifts. But that's not what the Bible says. Let's take a look at the second chapter of St. Matthew. And I'm going to let you read it for yourself. Now, the scene that we see, and we still see it on cards, the three wise men coming with their gifts, and they're going to the manger, and they're there with the shepherds and everything. It looks wonderful and nice. But what does God's Word have to say about it? If you look in the second chapter of St. Matthew, and I challenge you to read that entire chapter, take your time, reread, reread, and reread. But let's go quickly to verse 11. And it says, and when they were come into the house, we're talking about the wise men or the magi. That's another term. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Okay, that right there, and if you read further in chapter 2, it tells the story of King Herod, how he was upset. But the point I'm getting at, according to the word of the, now who are you going to trust? Hallmark cards that come out every year and show three wise men going to the manger, or are you going to believe the word of God? This is the challenge. It tells us clearly that these wise men, and I have to really be careful that I don't say three, because we've been saying three for so many ever since I was a child, but these wise men, they went to the house. And they saw the young child, not the infant baby, but they saw the young child. And as a mother, when does your baby become a young child? Beyond 6 months of age. And if you don't believe me, ask your pediatrician. Once they're beyond 6 months, they're no longer considered in that infant age. And the Bible clearly says the young child.
You know, that is so important.
Yes, Bishop.
The second chapter of Matthew is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Full of truth.
It has so much truth in it.
Yes.
That dispel the false teachings and the false traditions that are associated with the Advent season.
Yes.
And I remember as a young minister when it messed with my theology, when someone told me that there were not three wise men, I grabbed my Bible and looked at something I'd read before I don't know how many times.
Uh-huh.
And here I was, a young preacher, just coming to the knowledge, hey, the Bible didn't say there were three.
Yeah.
There were at least two,
mm-hmm.
but there could have been six, ten, I don't know.
Exactly.
And this is just so fascinating to me. Another thing I look at that's interesting to me is verse 13 of Matthew.
Yes, Bishop.
I'm not trying to be ethnocentristic here, but notice this. And God had warned Mary, well, let me read it, verse 12 and 13. Mm-hmm. And being warned of a God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord. Whenever you say the,
mm-hmm.
it's referring to a specific angel.
Yes.
If it said a angel, it could have been any of them. But
right.
if it says the, mm-hmm. it refers to the messenger angel.
Mm-hmm.
And the messenger angel is Gabriel. The angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Every depiction that you find of the baby Jesus, of the nativity of Jesus Christ, is usually white-oriented. It's always a little white baby. And I'm just pointing this out. Not as a racial issue whatsoever,
no.
but I'm just pointing out a truth. I don't understand how a little white baby could go in the black Egypt, which is on the African continent, and nobody noticed it for 3 years. So I'm just throwing this in there.
Just saying,
if I'm gonna hide a snowball, I wouldn't put it in a furnace. I'd put it someplace where it would blend in.
Exactly.
But then this is just a thought, but it ties in with the same thing of traditions. I wish we had time to go into the history of this, to when Michelangelo was commissioned to paint the Sistine Chapel in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, all of the images of Jesus, and some of them are yet existing today
in
Poland and other countries,
yes.
are of black.
Yes.
Michelangelo painted them according to his idea,
mm-hmm.
with the contrary to facts. But really, that's just a thought I want to put into you. And the only reason I'm doing it is not for any type of racial thing. I just want to show how so many traditions have confused us so long until it messes with our idea of Advent.
Yeah.
We're more concerned about the gifts and the food and the feast and the family get-together when we should really be concerned about the truth of the Word of God.
And that is so true, Bishop, that it challenges us now, and we're coming to the close because I'm looking at the time that
we went over time.
But it challenges us to take our thoughts and our minds off of the traditions. And you know, all of us have traditions. And I'm not necessarily saying that the traditions are wrong. That's not what I'm saying. All of us enjoy the joy of coming together as family and celebrating and talking about the birth of Jesus Christ and giving honor to God and thanking him for the blessings that he has bestowed upon him and just lifting up his name in song and worship and all that. What I'm saying is let that be our focus. you know, I should not have to be during the season worrying about whether or not if I'm going to outmax my credit cards or I'm not going to have rent next month or I won't be able to do this or I'm going to feel bad and feel like I'm suicidal because I can't give gifts to everybody. That should not be on my agenda. That should not be my thought process.
That's right.
But it should be during this Advent season to take time, and I know we do that regularly, to take time to reread the scriptures.
Yes.
To rethink what God has told us.
Yes.
To think about the gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has allowed us to be a partaking of, to think about, Lord, what is it that I can do even to share?
I'm going to have to call you in. I don't have time.
Oh, my goodness. And I still have so much more here, but I hope during this 30 minutes or so that Bishop and I have been talking that we have brought something that would truly challenge your faith to say, you know what, I have been leaning on these materialistic and secular and traditional things and not realizing that they are not totally the truth of what God wants me to know and to understand. And so use this as your jumping off point, so to speak, to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to find myself in your word. I'm going to be in Matthew, the first and second chapter. I'm going to be in St. Luke. And then I'm going to also go over to Isaiah.
And all of
and hear what Isaiah is saying in the seventh chapter, what he's saying in the ninth chapter. Lord, give me the insight and your Holy Spirit to make that come alive in me so that I truly see and understand. It's almost like an epiphany. If I didn't know it before, Lord, bring it to me now. I got it, Lord. I understand.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God. We're going to stop here because we see that we are way over time. But I just want to leave you with this one scripture, and it's so familiar, from Isaiah 9 and 6.
Oh, my.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, oh God, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Mother, I like to say he's a wonderful counselor.
He's a wonderful counselor.
He's a counselor,
Bishop.
Because
he's
wonderful.
He's wonderful, yes.
And he's wonderful because he's a counselor.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Teacher Tyndall. I think we're going to cut off here. We're going to close it here at this point. But we thank and praise God for this opportunity to have just spent this 30 minutes with you. And if there are any questions or whatever, we're going to turn it over now back into the hands of our teacher, Teacher Margaret Tyndall. God bless you, Teacher Tyndall.
Amen. Mother Bishop and Bishop Tyndall, you all could have kept going. This was such a wonderful presentation that you gave this morning, and I don't want to take up all the time. I have so much to say, but, you know, as I think back on this, I was thinking of, and I know Bishop Haywood is going to be opening the lines a minute, but I was thinking of how sometimes these singers have what they call listening parties.
Yes.
Where people sit and listen. This would be a wonderful holiday listening party event for the churches in the UFCCM around this time of year.
Oh, my.
When you think about it, because there's so much instruction and clarifying misunderstanding and taking the pressure off of people thinking about Christmas in a secular way. And yes. You mentioned people that are suicidal, and that resonated with me. There's so many people that don't have this knowledge, and because they don't, they feel suicidal, and some of them do take
yes.
their lives because
yes.
of all of these misperceptions and misunderstandings. I want to challenge our listeners today to share, tell somebody to go to the website and listen to this broadcast. It will give them peace during this season.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So, Bishop Hayward,
Amen.
We have anyone who wants to chime in this morning with comments or questions? Okay, I'm going to hold on for a second because Bishop Hayward says his computer has frozen, but you know, Bishop Tyndall and Mother Bishop are offering during the years a series of different courses, and I was thinking I wish they would offer a course on church history and traditions and how they came about. You mentioned the Reformation and some of those other things. We in the body of Christ need to have a clear and a good knowledge and understanding of the basis.
Yes, yes, teacher. I agree.
Of the basis of our faith and how mm-hmm. why we believe the way we do. And mm-hmm. as we learn and understand this, we can be such great apologists for the gospel
yes.
of Jesus Christ.
Yes, teacher Tyndall. That is so true. And I think the more that you understand about something, the better clarity that you have and the better that you can act upon something. And history, we all know that oftentimes we've heard people say, well, history repeats itself. But if you don't know your history, oftentimes that's why people don't necessarily know where they're going or where they're headed, because they don't know where they came from. They don't understand their past. And just like it is in the secular sense, it's the same way within the church. When you begin to really get into church history and some of the things that have happened, it's like, wow, okay, this is why this is done or this is said, because hundreds of years ago, back in some of these councils that have occurred, not on this continent, but back over across the seas, because you know that's where we all originated from, well, most of us originated from. And some of the things that were done, once you understand that history, then you're like, okay, I have enough that I can understand why things are being done, or I have enough to say this needs to be changed, because based on the history, it was not implemented with the correct knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, church history. Church history is fascinating.
Yes, it is.
I spent out on every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yes.
In my series of Today in Church History, I send out a blog, I guess you call it, with a write-up on an important event.
Yes.
That took place on that particular day
mm-hmm.
in the church. And if you use those and read them, it will give you a great enhancement of your knowledge of church history. In
yes.
fact, one of our bishops told me that he received them and he's actually set up a file on his computer which is saving them for future reference.
Yes, yes.
You know, this is so important because as you all were speaking, I was thinking, and I can think back to my own life as a young person coming up in the church, sometimes misperceptions and lack of knowledge is not sometimes, it's a burden. And it
yes.
weighs you down and it leads
yes.
you to live in guilt and
mm-hmm.
fear and sometimes
yes.
the fear that, oh, I just can't make it. But coming into the knowledge and the true
yes.
understanding of the Word of God
Word.
Is freeing. That's
yes.
why the Word says, ye shall know the truth.
The truth, yes.
And the truth, in one place it says, I believe the truth shall set you free. And
mm-hmm.
in another place it says, the truth shall make you
make
free.
Make you free, yes.
That's right.
So as we listen to this and this wise instruction, and I'm just blown away because
This is the mission of Laity Training, to help us to understand the truth of God's word so that we can be free to move forward by faith. You can't move forward by faith when you're burdened and slogged down with things that you don't understand or things that, that weigh you down. But when you're free, you can not only move, you can fly.
Yes, indeed, Sister Teacher. You know, that is such an excellent thing, because not only will you experience that freedom yourself, but then you move to that point that you're able to help others experience the same thing. You no longer feel that you're bound. You no longer are feeling that something is there to hold you back. So it's not just for ourselves, but think of how many lives are impacted by what you say and what you do. And, you know, I think about that movie that I usually watch every year called It's a Wonderful Life.
And
Mr. Bailey was shown how the world would look without him being there. He did not realize how many lives he had touched.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing, Sister Teacher, with us today. That sense of freedom that you're talking about, it's not only for us, but are those hundreds of lives that we impact, because you may impact someone that will impact someone else.
Amen.
And think about Dr. Moody, how he was actually brought to hear the truth. And because his life was so impacted by the truth, he impacted thousands of people's lives.
Amen.
So you were so right, that sense of freedom. And you know, it's never too late. It's never too late. Somebody
may
be feeling, well, you know, I've been doing this all my life. I've been walking like this my entire adulthood, and it's hard for me to change, or I've just gotten so used to it, so I'm in a rut. But
mm-hmm.
the opportunity is here, that Christ, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, that is what his job is. So never feel that you're too old in traditions.
Amen.
That he cannot pull you out and allow you to see the truth that he wants you to see. And as you said, that brings about that freedom from that bondage that you may feel.
Amen, Mother Bishop. So true. It's just such a wonderful thing. I know that I think Bishop Haywood is back on. He had a computer difficulty for a moment there. But Bishop Haywood, do we have any callers?
Yes, we do. We do have callers. And if we could take maybe 5 or 10 seconds and come right back.
That'll be great. We'll be right back, everyone. Don't go away.
Teacher Tender, we are back, and
as soon as
you give me the go-ahead, we'll start bringing folks in.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, well, very good. Well, caller, you are at, we got a couple of hands raised. We don't have a lot of hands raised. We have a lot of folks, you know, on the line, and we only have 2 hands raised. So I'm going to go ahead and say this, as Teacher Tender always says. Please press 1 on your phone, and then we'll bring you in. If you don't press 1, we'll assume that maybe you're having a little difficulty, and we'll just call the last, your area code, and the last 4 of your telephone number to keep you anonymous, because we don't want everybody calling you after this. All right? Okay. All right. Well, call you are at 89, yeah, the very first one, looks like here. You're at 920, and the last 4 is 8050. 920, and your last 4 is 80450. Go right ahead.
Okay, this is Deacon Zindler. And I just want to say that when I took the Feast of Israel course, Bishop Tyndall suggested we get the Jewish study Bible. And mm-hmm. So as we were looking through here, there was something in the Jewish study Bible, a little narrative about how the Magi were Jewish. And many people thought that the first recipients of the good news were not Jewish. But it talks about how the Magi actually were from the Babylonian exiles. They were in that area. And that Daniel may have been one of the first people. They were not astrologers, but they were studying the stars, waiting for the sign of the Messiah. And so they followed that star. And I just thought that was just super interesting in adding to the depth of who the Magi were.
All right. Amen. Well, blessings to you, Teacher Tyndall, for that little I want to go ahead and say a plug for the Feast of Israel training. And if you go to the UFCCM website, you'll be able to find, you know, all of the teaching and the training that Bishop and Mother Tyndall are doing through the UFCCM theological training. And I would, you know, it is required that all of our deacons and ministers at some point take those courses. So I would encourage those of you to go to UFCCM.org and take those courses, the Enlightenment, Ministry of Enlightenment courses, as well as Feast of Israel and any other courses that our Ecumenical Patriarch and Mother Bishop, you know, have been blessing, you know,
yes,
and training.
Yes, and you know what, Bishop Haywood, I want to also put a plug in. I, too, took that course and I think another course with our bishop. But that Jewish study Bible, I would recommend that our listeners invest in the Jewish study Bible because it is an integral part of your Bible study, as there is so much enlightenment and clarification about the scriptures that you use that in concert with your Bible study. Bishop Tyndall mm-hmm. has been a proponent of that, and of course I purchased one several years ago and found it to be such a wonderful resource, and I thank Deacon Zindler for bringing that up to show that we can find such enlightenment in our Bible study as we use that as a resource.
You know, seeing that.
May I make a comment at this point?
Go ahead, Bishop.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I'm very happy that that point was brought up. And while Deacon Zimmer was speaking, something else came to my mind relative to the general discussion today.
Mm-hmm.
It's how legend grows.
Yeah.
It seems like as time goes on, legends get embellished. They're embellished to the point that you can hardly recognize any truth in them. If you're familiar with the situation about the wise men, again, with the 3 wise men, legend and tradition has even named them,
mm-hmm.
gave them names. I think one of them is named Casper. I don't know if you're attention to that, but they even have named them. And,
yes.
you know, you hear things like that, you just yeah. say, wow, that must be the truth about it.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is oftentimes like gold in the raw. You got to move away the debris
mm-hmm.
in order to get the jewel.
Exactly.
That's very important, your truth. Sometimes your truth, you have to search for it in order to find it. So Jesus gave it to us in a nutshell. Search the scripture. Very good. I'm leaving it.
Thank you, Bishop.
Amen.
All right, Bishop.
All right. Well, we'll move on. Caller, you are at 443, area code, and your last four is 9120. Go right ahead.
Am I in?
Yes, you're 443. Your last four is 9120. Go right ahead.
Amen. Praise God. This is Overseer Brooks. I just want to say that I'm very encouraged this morning by the teaching from Bishop Tindall and, of course, Mother Bishop. I just thank God for myself not being caught up in the tradition, but I'm grateful for the the challenge that Mother put out there for us to study. What was that? Matthew and Luke, the genealogy of Christ. So
yes.
I'm going to definitely jump on top of that and be a part of that and get more information, because this particular time of year, as it was earlier mentioned by someone, I don't remember who said it, but a lot of people, may have been you, Teacher Tindall, was saying that a lot of people are sad around this time of year, and they don't really understand the full meaning of this holiday season. And as I continue to grow, because I don't know it all, I could be a minister, pastor, overseer, whatever, I don't know it all, but as I continue to grow, I want to be able to have an answer. I want to be able to give concrete answers to those that are lost, and even to those that are saved that want to know about why we're celebrating this Advent season. So I thank God, I praise God for Mother Bishop and Bishop Tindall. I also am a recipient of the emails that Bishop send out on Tuesdays and on Thursdays, and I'm very grateful for it. And I just want to say continue in the great work that you all are doing, Bishop Tindall and Mother Bishop. I'm going to take this opportunity just to say thank you for all the hard work that you've done throughout COVID through 2021, and we're grateful, and we thank God for you, and God bless, and we know that God has greater things in store for you in 2022.
God bless you, Overseer. Thank you for those remarks.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, Overseer Brooks, and I'm just inspired by your statement that you want to study and know all you can so that you can explain and help people understand. And that ought to be the desire of every last one of us.
Amen.
Not only for ourselves, but that we may rightly divide the word of truth when we are called upon to do so, or when we have an opportunity to reach out to someone who does not know the Lord. Bless you, Overseer. It's good to hear your voice.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless. A very familiar number in front of me. Caller, you are 920, and the last four is 3205. Go right ahead.
Greetings, everybody, and blessings to you, Bishop Tindall, Mother Bishop, Teacher Tindall, my husband, Bishop Haywood.
Yeah, and I'm not at home. I had to leave and come down to the church because it's snowing here, and I didn't trust the Internet at our house.
Oh, bless you, Bishop Elect.
Thank you. Well, just real quickly, I have little mouths waiting for me to come out and greet them. But I'm just so thankful and so grateful for all that I've heard. And it's just always so encouraging to hear from you both, Bishop Tindall, Mother Bishop. It's such an encouragement to us. And yeah, we can look through the years, and not just this year. I'm sure there are those of us that can say we've had some hard goings.
Maybe
certain periods of our lives. But, you know, God is yet faithful and he's good. And I'm just so glad that, you know, that I know him and that he knows me. It makes
Amen.
A difference. You know, and in the teaching of word and studying of word, you know, and it goes further than, you know, what we pick up and read. And you do have to take the extra effort to define look at those words that you can have proper definition and context. So it's important. And you know, as you were speaking earlier, Mother Bishop, and I thought, you know, as a young mother, you know, trying to have fun with my my oldest son.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I put in the gift, go to bed, you got to wake up, you're not going to get your gift, you know. And he came home one day, he said, Mommy, he said, I went to the library today. And I said, oh, okay. He said, yeah, there is no Santa Claus. He said, there is a Saint Nick or Saint Nicholas, but there is no Santa Claus. You know, so, you know, and if we're not careful, knowing that, you know, the truth is there before them, even if parents don't do it, if they're going to church, they're going to hear. And it's,
yes,
and it's
yes.
best to just give them the truth. And okay to have a little fun with them, but let them have the truth. Because
yes,
they'll dig it up and find it out for themselves at some point in life.
Amen.
And leave you feeling quite foolish. Yeah. You know, but I'm thankful to God, looking forward to just an even, you know, better year in serving, because, you know,
yes,
we know we have God, and he's our he directs us and he gives us what we need. And I'm just so thankful
Amen.
For that, but also for leaders that will give us what we need and
yes,
and in truth and in word, and just loving just the spirit that I'm just even feeling on today. And this is just a powerful way to end the Laity broadcast. Teacher Tyndall, just a powerful way to
yes,
to end this year. So I love you all, and
love you too, Bishop Elect.
Take care. God bless.
God bless you, dear. Praise
love
God.
Love you, Bishop Elect. Thank you for joining in today.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank
if
you.
I could go back just for a moment on something that Overseer Book said about giving people answers and so forth about the truth that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I want to bring to you First Peter chapter 3, if I may, verse 15. It's an important scripture, and I think it's one that you might want to make note of.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer
mm-hmm.
to every man that asketh you a reason
yes.
of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The point I want to make from this passage of scripture is that you must sanctify the Lord in your heart.
Yes.
That, in other words, you must live a life
mm-hmm.
before the Lord and have faith in God to the point that you're able to trust God to bring to your mind the
yes.
truth that the Lord Jesus has revealed to us from his word.
Yes.
And the only way this can happen is by your taking time, as this Overseer Brooks beautifully pointed out. Take time
yes.
and learn and study
yes.
the word of God. God will bring it to your remembrance when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not there, it cannot
yes.
be brought
yes.
to your memory. But he will reach back into the depth of your memory and bring things to mind that can help you give an answer to most any question that anyone will ask of you. But you've got to have it in your mind.
You
and that comes from your 2 Timothy 3:15, I believe. Study.
Mm-hmm.
Show yourself approved unto God. A
workman
that does not need to be ashamed.
Right, dividing the word of truth. Amen.
I hope that is an encouragement, because Overseer Brooks pointed out a very important truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Well, we do have a few more callers. We have a lot on the line, but we do have just a couple more that have their hands raised. I did want to take a moment, you know, to kind of, you know, also interject briefly on something that Overseer Brooks said that Bishop Tyndall gave a little bit clarity or more commentary on. And then also my wife, lovingly called Bishop-elect Pastor Bev, you know, it was kind of the same when she talked about context and definition of words. When we listened to what Mother Bishop was saying earlier, and she had went into the fact that, you know, when we talk about virgin, I know that Bishop Tyndall also talked about virgin and, you know, maiden and young woman and all of those things. And so it's very, very important, you know, that we understand, because You know, it can take away, you know, the true, you know, mystery and prophetic emphasis. You know, just a word and the context and the definition. Last week, Mother Bishop, as I was speaking, you know, I told the congregation, this is my first time telling them this, you know, around this time of year, that if you have a Bible and it says, you know, and it says instead of virgin, you know, and I'm going to add the, you know, the virgin or a virgin now, you know, as well. If it says, you know, maiden or young woman, you know, I say, listen, here's what I want you to do with that Bible. Look in there right now. Go to Isaiah and 7:14. And if it doesn't say virgin, bring it up here. Let's toss it in the garbage right now. You know, and I know that might be a little bit horrible for, you know, someone. So you're going to tell somebody to throw the whole Bible? Yeah, throw the whole thing away because a little leaven, you know, how'd that go? Just a little bit would destroy everything. You don't know what. How can you trust anything else in there if that one little thing is there? The enemy will take an ounce of poison. Or ounce of truth, just to put a little, he'll take a lake of truth and put an ounce of poison in it to kill you. So you got to be very, very careful. And, you know, the Revised Standard Version, I think the New King James Version, the Good News Bible, even the NIV, those Bibles, they don't say a virgin.
Yeah.
Some of them say young. Some of them say maiden. And I'm just going to say, you know, just, you know, from Bread of Life, you know, point of view, you know, be very, very careful with those versions of the Bible. You heard it first right here on a lady from Mother Bishop. She didn't say that, but what she did say is, she did say you better be very careful if it doesn't say virgin. All right?
Right.
All right. So anyway, enough of that. You know, I tend to, you know, ramble on when you got good teachers on there. My pastor told me years ago, there's two things that won't make a preacher want to preach, a preacher, a teacher want to teach, and a musician want to play. That's one that can do and one that can't.
Bless you, Bishop.
Call, you're at 301. The last four is 0652. Area code 301, last four, 0652. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is Elder Hunt. I just want to say, say to Bishop and Mother, Mother Bishop, how much how much I enjoyed your teaching this morning. I always enjoy your teaching. And I thank God for all the comments that were said on this morning. And I thank God because as I was listening to the discussion, especially what Bishop Abel was saying about the different versions of the Bible, many, many, many years ago, Bishop Tindall taught us always go back to the King James. Because that is the most clear translation of the Bible in existence. And we use the others for, you know, for further understanding or maybe to clarify. But the King James is certainly the Bible that we always go back to. But I just also want to say this, too. Personally, I absolutely love Christmas. It is the time of the year for me that brings joy. And I think as I've gotten older, I realize that some of the traditions that we observed when we were children, they allowed us to dream and to have a good time. But as we got older, our parents taught us the true meaning of Christmas. All the things that are associated with the season of the year, just the happiness, just the joy, just the whole atmosphere. It just makes you feel glad, and it reminds me of the heavenly host singing glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The fact that we can celebrate a time of happiness as we celebrate Jesus' birth and, and all that he brought with him every Christmas, it's just renewed within my spirit. And that's probably why I just love Christmas so much. Not so much. I love the commercial part, but I love the spiritual part because of what it means to me. So it's a joy. It's a joyous and a happy time. And knowing how the plan of God was brought into effect with the birth of Jesus Christ, it just overwhelms my spirit. And I just like to share that this morning.
God bless you, Elder Hunt. That is so wonderful. And I like what Elder Hunt said, that we're not here condemning the activities of Christmas, but I like what she said when she was a child, but as she had gotten older and her parents began to instill into her the true meaning and why it is that you do what you do. Because remember, Paul said very clearly, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child. So, you know, but when I got older, I put away those childish things. So that is so important. And as a parent of having raised four children that are now adults and have their own children, that is important. And to show them that love and that understanding that that's what the season is all about. So as they get older and you begin to give them more truth that they're able to understand, it will just come to them.
Yes.
They're easily accepting of that. So that's such a good point, Elder Hunt. You know, for those of us that have children, it's been a long time since Bishop and I have had any small children. But I think about the things that you do, and I would just say if they're young mothers that are here, to use that time to instill and enjoy your children, and as they grow and grow, to give them a better understanding of what this time is about.
Yes, don't take away their childhood from them, because one of the greatest lessons, subliminal lessons of trust that they will get at an early age is that the season is about giving.
Yes.
God gave the gift of his son.
Yes.
So we exchange gifts because God taught us to show our love by
that's
giving.
Right. That's
so
right.
Don't take that away and get hung up in doctrine like a certain set out there that don't even celebrate Christmas because of that very same reason. That's not what we're about. We're just trying to bring more clarity so that as our young people grow up, they will grow up without misconception, but very well knowledgeable of the truth.
Yes, Bishop.
I like that you brought that out.
All right. Well, caller, and oh, and by the way, Elder Hunt, I noticed your voice. I had a, as well as Teacher Tindall, you know, if I was there, I would hand deliver you some of my Mississippi sassafras tea roots and help you make it all better. But I'm so sorry that I'm not there.
Oh, bless you.
Bless you. Thank you. I can give some today.
Yeah, oh, I am not on my job at all. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. All right, so caller, you are at area code 410, and your last four is 1960. I'll go right ahead. Area code 410, your last four is 1960 on your phone number.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Could you hear me?
Good afternoon, Minister White.
Hi, how you doing? I did lost connection. I thank God I got back on. I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the message. I am one of the ones that truly believe in the reason why we celebrate Christmas. I am almost a Christmas baby. I just didn't make it there. I came before it. So I really love this month. And then as I got a relationship with God, I just realized I was special when we celebrate, you know, Christ. But I want to piggyback on something. People used to get upset with me because I would tell them that my children don't believe in Santa Claus. I haven't taught them to believe in Santa Claus. And this is before I had got saved. And then when I got saved, I taught them the reason why we celebrate Emmanuel, why we celebrate Jesus Christ. So I thank God when my father and my studying, and I hear Teacher Tindall and Bishop Tindall and Mother Bishop and my pastor, knowing that I'm on the right direction. When I do my own study at home, I have five or six different Bibles, and I do have a Jewish Bible, and I have a Hebrew Bible. So when I go into these Bibles, I just ask God to enlighten me and show me what man cannot show me, what your word is saying. So I just want to say I enjoyed myself. I love it, and I got to pass this information on to my daughter because she was getting skeptical about Christmas. So I'm going to have to log her on so she can hear it.
Yes. Wonderful.
God bless you. Wonderful.
Wonderful.
God bless you, Minister White.
Thank you. God bless everyone. And happy holidays. And I'm getting ready to log off because I'm getting ready. This is my first time going to a prom and experiencing a prom. So I'm getting ready to log off, and I just wanted to let y'all know I love y'all.
Love you too, Minister White.
Love you too, Minister White. God bless you.
Thank you.
Well, we have plenty of people on the line, but that was the last one, Teacher Tender, that actually had their hand raised to make a comment. So unless you decide that you want to put that back out there, that was all that we have. And I think if everybody else did raise their hand, we'll be here another hour or two.
I know, Bishop. Hey, well, you know, our broadcasts are getting longer and longer, but it is not an issue because anytime we spend learning about the Lord, it is time well spent. And, you know, we don't even watch the clock, but we're so grateful today for Mother Bishop and our Ecumenical Patriarch for that dynamic and powerful message. It has resonated with us all and has been such a blessing. And we give thanks to our Ecumenical Patriarch and the USCCM Episcopal Board of Bishops for their ongoing support of this ministry and to all of you. Yes. And I want to give a special kudo to Bishop H.D. Haywood.
Amen.
It has been such a joy and a blessing. Yes. And sometimes we kind of, Bishop Haywood, get frustrated with the technical things that are thrown our way, but Bishop Haywood always finds a way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you this before, the different ways, but I just thank God for him being a partner with me in this ministry, this radio ministry, because for the past 6 years, going on 7 years, he has been a faithful partner who does all he can to enable us to go over the airwaves. And Bishop, I will probably never be able to express the depth of my thanks to you for your faithfulness, but I just want to let you know how grateful I am and we are for your service, and we just look forward to continuing on.
Blessings, and thank you so much, Teacher Tindall. And we, we're blessed, you know, to be trusted, you know, to do this, you know, and I know sometimes that, it is frustrating, you know, a little bit, you know, that for those that may be looking, you know, for a more smooth transition at times. And, but, you know, I believe God is going to do a whole lot more with what we have, with the little that we have, you know, to give. You know, a little becomes much when we put it in the Master's hand. So thank
Amen.
You so much.
That is so true. And I just want you all to know that this is the last broadcast for 2021, and such a, as Bishop Elect said, such a timely topic brought to us today. Our next broadcast will be on Saturday, January the 8th, 2022, the Lord willing. And this will be the beginning of our seventh year on the air. And this morning I was thinking about 7 being the number of completion. That doesn't mean we're completing this broadcast, but we just thank God for allowing us to go into our 7th year. We have some exciting plans in store, and I ask all of our listeners to pray for us and with us as we listen to the leading of the Lord for what he would have us to do and for guidance for the coming year.
I want to tell
you very quickly to keep in mind the monthly UFCCM 24-hour prayer meetings. I know that our Ecumenical Patriarch and Mother Bishop will be reaching out about that. And if you haven't signed up to participate, please do so. Every month I look at the list, and my heart is just glad to see more and more people joining in. So if you haven't, please sign in, because we know that prayer changes things, and there's power in prayer. And finally, mark your calendars for our next Laity Network Connection, which will be on Saturday, January the 22nd. We'll be sending out more about that. If you know individuals who want to know more about the UFCCM, please direct them to our website at ufccm.org. And as always, we invite your questions and suggestions and comments about these broadcasts, or just to share with us how you have been blessed. So feel free to contact me at teachertyndall@ufccm.org, and we would love to hear from you. So at this time, I'm going to ask our dear Bishop Haywood if he would close us out with prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, blessings to you. And right as we go into prayer, you know, I'll just say Melakaliki Maka is the Hawaiian way that they say Merry Christmas. And I want to say that because it's cold here and it's warm in Hawaii.
Well, you keep the show up there, Bishop Haywood.
Yeah, no, I don't want to sing, oh, the weather outside is frightful, let it snow. No, I don't want that because it's yeah, it's doing that right now, and I don't like that at all. Mother Bishop and Bishop Tyndall, blessings to you both. Thank you so much for all of the preaching material I shall use throughout the rest of this these last few weeks of Advent. I'm acknowledging where it came from right here live on the air, so if you hear us online preaching it. You know, that's where it came from, the theological enhancement and mysteries, you know, the Advent season right now as disseminated from Bishop Tyndall and Mother Bishop. So blessings to you both. And
bless you, Bishop.
So let us go. Well, Teacher Tyndall, again, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you all. And we're so very thankful until we meet on the other side of the year. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you right now for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you're yet going to do. We thank you, Lord God, that you are good. And Father God, that you have filled us, Lord God, with wisdom and knowledge, you know, who you are and who we are. We thank you, God, even right now that, Lord, as we prepare for the coming, God, we know that the Savior already came in the form of a baby boy. But we know that he's coming again, Lord God, as a king. And we thank you even right now as we watch for both of those comings right now, the coming of the past and the coming of the future, Father God, and as we move our hearts and our minds, Lord, closer to you, understanding and acknowledging, God, that on the 25th of December, although it may not be the actual day, we acknowledge that you were born a man into this world, God, that we will be saved. So we thank you, God, that somebody that may be depressed, as Mother Bishop and Bishop Tyndall said earlier, because they may not have the money, they may not have what they need or want to be able to supply, God, let this not be anguish for them, but God, touch their mind and give them clarity right now in the name of Jesus, Father God, that there is yet, God, hope for us, Lord God, as long as there is life, Lord, and God, that the true meaning of this season, Lord God, right now, God, is your birth, the birth of our Savior and our soon coming King. So, God, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, God, in every service for the next few Sundays and throughout the new year, Lord God. We thank you, God, that they are blessed and that people, Lord, whether it's online, whether it's in person, or however, God, we are meeting, God, we thank you even right now that you, God, shall impart into us every word, God, that has come forth today and in, God, the word of God. In context and definition, Lord God, so that we can truly understand who you are. In the holy, the mighty, and the master's name of Jesus, we bind the enemy that comes to hinder, to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You have no authority. You have no power over God's people. But you are a defeated foe. You are under our feet. And we know where you end up. And that we, God, oh, Father, right now, we thank you, God, right now, in the name of Jesus. And it is so. And it is so. And it is so. Let us all say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We thank God. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And it is so.
Amen.
So
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Thank God we're leaving on a high note of praise this afternoon. God bless you all. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we look forward to seeing you in 2022. God bless.
Stay up to date with all UFCCM news, events, and happenings. Go to UFCCM.org. Also, find us on Facebook at UFCCM Today. Did you know that you could contact the UFCCM through the National Switchboard? Call 833-88-UFCCM. That's 833-888-3226. Go to the UFCCM website for specific extensions.
There is a definite need for training the laity. The Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices, the laity. I would also point out that the Ministry of Laity Training is one of the four UFCCM ecclesiastical ministry offices. We have Ministry of Evangelism, Ministry of Communication, the Ministry of Laity Training, and also the Ministry of Clergy Training.